Wow, good deal. Man, it's the last time together. I'm going to preach really fast so David can go to bed. If I look over and his eyes are closed, I'm just going to believe he's praying. I ain't going to call him out. I might say, brother, you all good? Yeah? Who was not here this morning? Okay, wow, so you did get a whole bunch of news, so you really do got two services. I was just wondering if you have a bunch of double dippers or quadruple drooper dippers. But, yeah, I won't be able to preach this morning again, but I wish I could. It just seemed really solid this morning, but I just want to talk about a couple things that are on my heart. I never anticipate on going long on a Sunday, but you guys are so different. I'm really short on a Sunday. Normally, every church I travel, they usually have solid child care in the sense of workers and parents waiting on kids and things. And not meaning you guys don't have solid child care. What I meant was, the pastors are always thinking about that, and I'm thinking about that. So I'm usually pretty quick, but I just got a couple things in my heart I want to talk about. You know, we talked this morning about getting your heart established in faith. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, let your heart be established, for the coming of the Lord is near. We talked about the way you received Christ, so walk in him, rooted, built up, and established in the faith. I've preached it before in this house, I'm sure. The faith he's not talking about the faith for healing or believing for finances. He's not talking about a tool in your belt to see God move concerning a need. When he says the faith, he's talking about a perspective that you live by. He's talking about who you've become now that he came. And he wants you to continue to live in that truth and walk in that truth. It says that Satan comes like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. It's 1 Peter 5. It says, resist him standing steadfast in the faith. When you stay in the faith, when you understand why you're here in him and why he's in you, why you're alive in the Lord, when you understand what we've become and who we've become as Christians and the why behind it, it's what we've been preaching all weekend, that's called the faith. So that's how we can have unity. That's how we can have unity in the body of Christ. Are you with me? Okay. Let me have fun with Barnabas because he can handle it. He's good. He'll go with me. Just stand up with me, my brother.
All right.
Turn around and face the people because you're so handsome. Stand beside me like this. Now look, are you ever going to mistake us? He's so much better looking than me, it ain't going to happen. I appreciate your security, brother, and confidence. I feel his whole body saying yes. Are you ever going to mistake us?
No.
Do we look anything alike?
No.
Watch this. We don't look nothing alike. In fact, overall, probably we ain't nothing alike. But guess what? We can both look just like him.
Mm.
And that's what makes us one.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Amen.
You get it?
Yes.
So I ain't trying to be Barnabas. Barnabas ain't trying to be me. We're both pursuing to be more like him. We don't look nothing alike. Different backgrounds, cultures, countries.
That's right.
Same Father, same Spirit. We can both wake up for the same reason. That's what makes us one. According to the Bible, it's called the unity of faith. Yeah? It's both of us living for the same reason. Different desires, different preferences, different flavors. Same purpose, to be more like him. I'm gonna go home to Pennsylvania today. You're gonna wake up wherever you live, God willing, tomorrow morning, and we can all wake up and live for the same reason. Go to different jobs, have different schedules, meet different people, all for the same purpose. That's the body of Christ. And that's what makes us one. It's not uniformity. It's not everybody liking the same thing. It's everybody becoming the same thing. Oneness. Are you with me? It's really sweet. We ought to go for it. Yeah? So, when we're talking about the faith, resist him, resist the devil, standing steadfast in the faith. Did you hear in that scripture, you're not fighting the devil. You're fighting the good fight of faith. So many people get tricked into just fighting the devil, shouting at him, talking to him. He loves it when you pay attention to him. He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing, and now he's got your attention. Do you see what happens when you give somebody a microphone? They manifest. And they'll talk as long as you let them. You give somebody a microphone, it's on. They manifest. Why would you put him on a platform? Why would you spend any time as the children of God acknowledging a cut off withering branch coming to nothing? He loves when you focus on him. You say, well, we're supposed to bind and rebuke him. You're supposed to submit to God. Submit to God and fight the good fight of faith. Are you with it? So many people, I bind you, devil. I bind you. I come against you. I break your power. This and that. And they get all, and they're so conscious of the devil, and they wear themselves out in their so-called fighting the devil. And the whole time they're not even Godward. They're not even considering truth, which makes them free. And you can only crush a lie with truth. Were you ever ignored in your life as a kid? Did you ever play the ignore game and somebody ignore you? You say, I'll knock it off. I know you hear me. And they say, did you hear something? I didn't hear nothing. Were you ever around an atmosphere growing up as a little? It frustrates you. It's like, oh, knock it off. You know you hear me. And then you're little, right? So you get louder. Ah! And they're like, you hear something? Or they act like you ain't even talking. Why don't we just do that to the devil? You know, if he comes and goes, you ain't never going to be nothing. You ain't worth it. You think you're really forgiven? I mean, all the filth and junk you did in your life and all the times you knew to do better and you didn't even do it. Now you're supposed to be forgiven and accepted and everything's cool. I don't think everything's cool. I don't even think you're any different. Anybody ever hear stuff like that in their head? Yeah? So what do? Do you call for prayer? A lot of people do. Do you say, I bind you, devil, get behind me, blah, 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 blah? Because when you do that, you'll find that in a moment, that thing's right there speaking again. Here's what you do. You submit to God. Let me show you what it looks like. As soon as you hear this thing, Father, I just thank you for your love for me. I thank you that you've made my life totally different, and you've proved through your cross the value that I possess in your sight. And I see that's not vanity. That's your statement to me. You showed me that I'm worth something to you, or you'd have never paid a high price. God, I thank you. You've forgiven me of all my sins. You've washed me clean. You've given me purpose, and you've moved inside of me. You know, an hour later, this derogatory memory, this flashback from the past, this thing that you knew you'd never do, but you did it, just comes to your remembrance. And instead of graying out and getting defiled and falling apart and putting that thing back on like a jacket that don't fit, you just lift your heart to God and say, thank you for the redemption of my life. I thank you. You've washed me clean and made me pure. Bam, bam, bam. And you just go to God. You just go to God. You just go to God. This is the wisdom of the Lord. It's in the Word. We spend so much time problem conscious, so much time fighting the enemy, we never build ourselves up in enough truth to walk in the freedom of it. See, because if you submit to God, you are resisting. And if you do resist, he will flee. And if he doesn't flee, he's just helping to aid establish you in truth and draw you closer to communion with God. And all of a sudden, in the course of time, if he doesn't back off, you have a stronger relationship and a greater reality of God than you had if he wasn't pestering you. See, you can't stop that kind of wisdom if we continue to believe. Now, if you say, well, I'm just tired of hearing that. Well, when is it ever going to go away? Well, I just wish God would just come and thump that thing and get that thing out of my life. See, now you've forgot, lost sight. It's all about you and how you feel, and I don't want to hear that. No. Stop. You are privileged to believe this every day. It don't matter what you're hearing. If what you're hearing ain't cool, let it spring you to what you believe. Yeah? Come on. You do not have a problem. You always have an answer. If you make it a problem, you'll never arrive at the answer. If all you think you need is prayer, then what you're saying is, I just need the problem to go away and I need to feel better. No, you need to believe better. You need to see clearer. And you need to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And you know what the last part of that is in John? It says, he who the Son, guess what they are? You might as well just quote it like this. They are free for sure. Yeah? It's truth. It'll make you free. I just threw that little thing in there. I just see so many good people that are trying to move forward and wanting to do right get tripped up by flashbacks, memories, impressions, dreams, thoughts, feelings. And they say, I need prayer. I'm getting bad dreams. You don't need prayer because you're getting bad dreams. When you wake up and remember the dream, flip it into truth. Have a worship time in God. Pray, intercede, and have a fit in Jesus. And if it is the devil giving you the dream, he's just spurring you on in God. You hear me? People say, well, the devil's been keeping me up at night. I can't sleep. And then my whole day's ruined. And then you're all fussing about it. And then when you go to bed, you're so conscious of it. You're so afraid. You're already afraid of the nighttime. Well, you're dreading nighttime. And now you've already got yourself a mess. And no wonder you can't sleep because you're already consumed. Just go to bed in faith and say, God, I thank you. Your hand is upon my life. Sleep is the children's bread. And I'm going to crawl in my bed. All of a sudden, there you are again at 2 o'clock and you just can't sleep. You're so wide awake. Your mind wants to drift and say, man, I got to get up at 6:30 and here I am wide awake at 2. I'm going to be so tired. No, don't do that. Watch. Sit right up in your bed. Say, Father, and you actually believe it's the devil poking you and keeping you up and insomnia and all this stuff, right? Sit up and just say, Father, I thank you for waking me tonight. See, you got to live like he ain't there. The enemy. You got to live like he ain't there. Come on. Even if you know he's there. Father, I thank you for waking me up tonight. God, I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to intercede. I'll touch the four corners of the earth with intercession if you want me to. And it don't matter if I pray till the alarm goes off, because if you woke me up, you'll empower me and my day's blessed. There ain't nothing nobody's going to do about it. I ain't going to be tired. I'm going to function. And this thing is called blessed. Thank you for having me awake in the middle of the night. And it's just you and me. Let's get it on. All of a sudden, the country comes on your heart, or a topic, or political stuff, or something, or a people. Now you're crying and interceding. The devil's sitting there going, did I do that? That sure beats you tossing and toiling and frustrated and crying and calling your friend as soon as your alarm goes off, saying, you better pray for me and pray me through, or I ain't never going to make the day. Devil kept me up all night again. And you know what the devil's doing? Can't wait till tonight. Come on. I don't know how I get on this stuff. I hope it helps you. I just hope it helps you. You go to work and you're driving to work and all of a sudden a memory comes from something you know you're forgiven for. Something you know you were forgiven for. But you can't get it out of your head and you see it again. You see it again. You better be careful you don't start saying, oh, that thing's in my heart. Oh, man, why am I thinking that? I thought I was free. You are free. The only time you're not free is when you believe what you're seeing is still you. See, as soon as you get that little impression, you ought to just shout out to Jesus that you're a brand new creation. You ought to shout out to Jesus that you're living in a brand new day. That, man, I ain't the person I was a year ago. I've come a long way. Your goodness and your grace has been sufficient for me. Father, thank you for loving me in this way. God, it's so good to be clean. It's so good to be in your presence. It's so good to be free. And that little lying, familiar spirit sitting back behind you going, did I do that? I act a little skid out all the time. I've probably done it in this house before. But I get somebody sitting in a chair and I run through all these little thoughts and things we all deal with. And I go over and I have it, the devil sending a little imp over there, and I take the imp over and I act it all out. And it's really a practical, good visual. But I got the little imp running back, and he says, boss. And he says, yeah, did you tell him what I said? Yeah, boss, I told him what you said. But boss, you ain't going to believe it. Like, boss. Like, I told him everything, I promise. What? What happened? What do you mean? Boss, I told him exactly what you said. And you know what they did? You ain't going to believe it. They lifted their hands and began to worship God. You fool. You couldn't have told them what I said. Because when you talk like that to Christians, they get grayed out, depressed, and call for prayer. Not this Christian, boss. I think they're a believer. That's how I act that skit out. Because you know, we're notorious for asking for prayer. And prayer has its place. And prayer is scriptural. And you pray in all manner of prayer with supplication. But a lot of the things, honestly, bear with me on this. Somebody told me, they said, you don't take a lot of heat on the internet. People don't smash you and bash you like they do a lot of people. But somebody told me, they said, one of the biggest times people criticize you when you talk about prayer because they ain't hearing what you're saying. They just react. People on social media concern me because they're listening to nitpick and they just react to everything they don't agree with. And then you got to wonder why they're on social media. They should just be out praying for somebody on a corner or something and spare themselves and get off that thing and go love somebody and make a difference in the world. Yeah? Because I doubt that their calling is God's critic. Listen. Just listen, though. Listen. A lot of things we're asking for prayer for aren't prayer issues. They're truth issues. They're you getting a deeper understanding of truth, because that's the only way to break a lie. See, a lie becomes a stronghold. And the Bible says, how do you overtake a strong man? How do you win a house of a strong man and overtake the house? You got to come with someone stronger. Now, what we think he's talking about is saying, Jesus, man, you really buffed and you are bad in the spirit. Would you take my hand and come with me? Because we got to go get the strong man out. And then you say, Jesus, throw Jesus in. And Jesus said, come on in. It's clear. That ain't how it works. The strong man is there. He's a lie. He's a belief system. You got to bring somebody stronger. Who's stronger? The word of the living God, the truth, which makes men free. Here's a good example. People wake up in the morning, they associate with familiarity. So they wake up and they go, they inventory their body, or they just wake up to their body. And they go, whoa, and it's real. It feels that way. They go, oh no, not this morning. Oh, I can feel this coming on. Oh, this is just like it was 2 weeks ago. I barely made it through. Oh God, not today. I got such a schedule. Oh, this ain't good. Hey, can you pray for me? That's what people do. And they're constantly looking to feel better instead of pursuing communion with God and believing better. So what do? You don't call for prayer. You commune with him. You begin to talk to him and thank him for the gift of today. You thank him that his grace is greater than the feeling you woke up to. You thank him that you're not dreading this day because his grace is sufficient and he'll make things right. And as you're heading to the bathroom, you just thank you, Jesus, for your love. I thank you. You've washed me clean. You've purified me, and you see me and are not ashamed to call me yours. God, I've received your love today. Now you're brushing teeth, doing hair. All of a sudden, you got your little worship playing. Next thing you know, you're in the shower. Yeah, yeah. And by the time you're dressing, you're like, you don't even remember how you woke up. I'm telling you, it's real. But I haven't seen a lot of Christians living this way. I see a lot of Christians saying, hey, I need prayer. Hey, can you pray for me? Hey, could you just pray for me? Hey, could you pray for me? Could you please pray for me? It's ministry-crazed mindset. We feel like we always need ministry when you're actually called to minister. Paul said, you know, there's a bunch of you ought to be teachers by now. Instead, we just keep relaying these same principle elementary foundations. And it's because we haven't exercised and we've been unskilled in the truth of right standing with God, righteousness. Come on, these are scriptures. This isn't a hard message. This is a liberating message. This is a grow up in him message. So what's that mean? That means you're unskilled in righteousness, so you keep going in a cycle because you haven't seen you're clean. You haven't seen you're accepted in the beloved. You haven't seen that he made you a robe and it fits you perfect. Like you look good in that thing. You know, you look good. Yeah? I mean, it's your robe made by him. Wear it. I mean, wear it. You know what I mean? I got mine on. You can see in the spirit, I got mine on. Don't look under my robe. You see my little hairy legs, but I got my robe on. It's a robe of righteousness. It's a garment of salvation. He robed me. He clothed me. Yeah? You got to wear that thing. You got to put it on every day. You got to keep that thing on. So all of a sudden, the, the person's calling for prayer. They say, let me call Brother So-and-so. He's such a prayer warrior. If Brother So-and-so ain't sharp, he's just going to start wearing the identity of prayer warrior. So he's just going to start praying for everybody's feelings and thoughts, and instead of ministering truth so they don't have to call him all the time. Because if you always need to call Brother So-and-so, you ain't growing up into nothing. You're just getting by, hopefully. Come on, it's not wrong to ask for prayer for certain things. But a lot of things we ask prayer for are related to how we're feeling. People say, well, I just, something just doesn't feel right. If you're going to buy into that and sell that cheap, you're never going to be okay. You're just going to always be, don't feel right. If you live by your feelings, most people do and don't realize it. That's why most people don't believe they're doing that great. And it's a giveaway. When you ask us, when we ask each other, hey, how you doing, man? It's rarely a healthy answer in Christ. It's usually a circumstantial-driven answer that says, well, right now, I'm really going through a press. I ain't sure about my job. And, man, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do about my car. It ain't running right. Just keep me in prayer, man, but I'll get through. That's your answer to how you're doing. That means life and circumstances are deciding your encouragement level, your expression, and your output. And that ain't cool. Because if there is an enemy, which there is, and he's seeking whom he may devour, he said, just found one. Just found one. You say, well, why doesn't God stop it? He paid a price to stop it all. And he gave you all the tools. He's saying, use them. Use them. Love not your own life unto death. Don't seek your own. Take out the sword. Make sure that thing's bloody at the end of the day. And speak the word of God. Yeah? Like, don't just shine it up and hang it on the wall. That's not the sword you have. That's just a symbol of the sword you have. You don't want your sword looking like that at the end of the day. That thing wouldn't be used. If your sword looks like that, you just had everybody else praying for you. It's not wrong to ask for prayer. When it's feeling related, and it's just you trying to feel better. Most of the things that people ask me for prayer for are truth issues. They need more understanding than they ever do prayer. You with me? Because if we don't go this route, you know what happens? Then the more you're getting prayed for and these things keep happening, then the more questions arise. Who's ever experienced this in your life? Who's ever said, man, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Man, I wonder what door I opened. I wonder why God's letting this. I wonder if he's trying to teach me something. I wonder if the devil's just trying to take me out. And all of a sudden, you got like 12 to you legitimate questions that come like a flood. Ever happened to anybody? Watch. The purpose of those questions are to drown out what your heart already knows. All of a sudden you get so many questions, the thing your heart knew gets covered over, and all of a sudden you slip away. Let's look at John the Baptist. There's no one that had a revelation of Jesus like John. No one. God himself showed John who the Christ was. And he said, that's him. That's him right there. His disciples are looking at John. John said, you need to go follow that man. That's the one. He's the one. How do you know, John? Just go. He's the one. When he baptized him, he said, whoo, I saw the Spirit come upon him and stay upon him. The Father said, the one that the Spirit descends upon and remains upon, it is he. I must decrease, he must increase. Guys, go follow that guy. He's the one. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's John. But now John's sitting in prison. Jesus said he was the greatest of them all. He's the forerunner. He's the voice crying out in the wilderness. Handpicked by God, a gift to Elizabeth, a miracle. Elizabeth, late in years. Woo! Carrying John. Mary walks in the room with Jesus, and John is like, hey, cousin, I perceive you in the room. Elizabeth's going, whoa, John, not right now. I'm only in my 6th month. Hang on, boy. I know you want to hug Jesus, but the baby was bearing witness. John had such a revelation. He's 6 months old. He's bearing witness of Jesus. Now he's in prison, and he does something really strange. He calls 2 of his disciples over, and he says, hey, guys, would you go ask Jesus if he's the one, or should we look for another? Go ask Jesus if he's the way, or should we look on another path? Go ask Jesus if he's the deliverer, or should we look for somebody else? Why is John saying that? Because he was the hand-picked by God prophet who the scriptures foretold for hundreds of years. And now he's sitting in a prison when he already prophesied he's going to open prison doors. And he's in one. And John's mind's spinning. And all of a sudden the questions, why am I here? Why am I in this prison? How come I'm being treated? Why hasn't God delivered me by now? Why is he letting Herod do this to me? Hey guys, would you go ask Jesus if he's the one? Or should we look somewhere else? Jesus said, you go back and tell John. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. Watch. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Is he correcting John without them knowing it? He knows what's happening to John. You can hear what happened to John in Jesus' answer. Blessed is the man who's not offended because of me. What happened to John? John got so many questions in his head that it drowned out what he already knew by the Lord in his heart. And he asked the question that he already had the answer to. If that happened to John, that could probably happen to any of us. True? And then Jesus, he's so amazing. He turns to the people and brags on John. And then he says, but the least of you, being the ones that are going to be coming into this kingdom and be the new covenant of Jesus, he's talking about a new identity, the people of God bought through his blood. He says, but even the least of you will be greater than he. He didn't dish on John. He didn't turn and say, you know, John really is something. He was handpicked, got a revelation by my father, and now he's questioning who I am because he's got his butt in prison and he's over there fussing. Do you know how much we've been taught to take our life personal when we're supposed to take the gospel personal? Your calling and destiny personal? Do you know how much we've been tricked into taking people personal? And we're supposed to take him and his love personal? Do you know how many times we sought the word of God only because we were frustrated, angry, or trying to be right? Instead of sought the word of God because we already knew and we wanted to keep in tune and touch with truth? It's amazing how these things happen. So why am I preaching this on a Sunday? You guard your heart. You keep yourself in the things your heart knows. Questions aren't wrong. Prayer's not wrong. Don't be driven by need. Don't let questions rule your life. Let the things your heart sees. Look, you might not have any answers why you've been prayed for 20 times and haven't been healed. You might not be able to. You can throw that around all day, and if you ask too many people, you get too many opinions. And nobody really has the straight up answer other than we're just growing up into him. We need to push away the questions because sometimes the line of questions is threatening the things your heart knows. Here's what your heart knows. He does love me or he'd have never sent his son. He paid a price to redeem my life or I wouldn't be asking to be healed. I know God is good. I know he loves me. I don't know why I haven't seen a change in the situation, but I know he hasn't changed. That's how you live from the answer. Yeah? And you never let life change your mind because the giver of life has already settled your heart. Are you hearing me? So you got me. I've been privileged to see a lot of things in my life, and then I lose my mother to a sickness and I do her funeral. Come on, if I don't understand what I'm preaching, I'm stung by that. I'm bruised by that. I've changed my tone a little bit. All of a sudden, I preach to satisfy the situation. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to comfort my troubled heart with a spiritual analogy. Unfortunately, it's at the cost of truth, and truth's what makes us free. Now we have a bigger problem. Oh, that's just good preaching right there. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying is right on this. We have lost people. We have things. We have prayed. And we say, well, I know I was believing. Well, I don't know. Well, you can't tell me none of us had at least a mustard seed. Well, it mustn't be God's will. Well, he don't. Well, I don't know why. Yeah. Come on, we do it. That's a warning signal that this thing is way too much about you right now. How you're feeling. You've lost sight of eternal truth. You've lost sight of the victory through Christ. You've surely lost sight of thanksgiving. And you might have lost sight of your resume of God. And then they're singing a song, he ain't never failed me yet. And all you can do is sing about your mom dying. And you can't even sing it. You got questions. You with me? Come on, I'm talking plain because it was my mama that died. So you can't say I'm being insensitive to you. I just know if Jesus touched my mama, she jumps up. I know he lives in me. I know he lives in you. I just know we ain't walking in that thing like he paid for, so we need to keep teaching, preaching, come to the unity of faith, stop getting tossed to and fro, Ephesians 4, till we grow up into him in all things to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. But if we keep changing our mind every time we don't see what we were believing for to protect our own lives, consciences, and souls, we will never arrive at truth. Are you with me? Part of humility and part of loving not your own life unto death is not getting offended when you're sitting in prison announcing the man that's opening prison doors. Are you with me? So don't change your mind. Settle on your heart what truth is through the life of Jesus, not through your life. Do you ever hear anybody say, well, I'm just so confused right now. I thought God loved me. Well, he died. What do you mean you thought? Well, I thought he loved me. Well, what do you mean you thought? He does love me. Well, if he loved me, then how come? And they share scenarios. Well, you don't find God's love through scenarios. You find God's love through his crucified son. And if you don't get rooted and grounded in that truth, scenarios are going to eat your lunch because your definition of God is changing and blowing like the wind and the waves of the sea. Did you ever hear anybody say, I thought God loved me? And you say, what do you mean you thought God loved me? He does love me. Well, if he loved me, then why did he let this happen to me when I was 12? Why did he? And how come yesterday? And then just today? Did you ever see that? All of a sudden, we're looking for him to validate his love through circumstances that please us. That means his love is always on trial and always in question and one circumstance away from being removed from your faith. So when are you ever rooted and grounded in love? And when does faith ever work through love? And all of a sudden you're reduced to faith working through need and desperation and despair and self-centered motivation. And all of a sudden you ain't even seeking first the kingdom of God. You're just singing the right songs, but you ain't living from the right places. And your heart's not evil and you're not a hypocrite. You're just misunderstanding and you're paying a heavy price for it, being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because the knowledge is lacking, now you're more mad at God. And how did he let this happen yet? And why it is? And how far has this got to go? And what are you doing, God? You ever see that in anybody? I've seen it a few times. I've seen people get so mad at God. And it just shows me that we haven't understood covenant. We haven't understood him at all. We haven't even understood that we're in pride. We're way deceived when we're mad at God. That is the clay rising up against the potter. Our little finite mind, when the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom, and you think you found him guilty, that is a sure tragic sign of the fall of man. You think your analytical assessment is correct? And you found fault with the Ancient of Days who is flawless? And in your little window of season called life, you think you've acquired a knowledge apart from him that could accuse him and take him down? That is a sure demonic sign of the fall of man. That you are so puffed up in your own opinion that you actually believe you're right when it pertains to God. Come on, I'm just saying it straight. I'm not sure why I'm there. It doesn't mean you're in the room. Just don't ever be in that room. All right? Come on. Yay. I touched on this morning. I didn't preach it out, but I felt like I needed to turn there. So let's just see why. Maybe I'll figure out why when I start preaching it. I'll go on a journey with you. That's release faith. 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure. Oh, okay. I better back up. Verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Whose mind the God of this age, you have to be careful, there's a God of this age whose wisdom and his wisdom is the wisdom of this age. It's like the world and the wisdom of the world. It says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's not a hardcore condemnation message from the Lord. He's saying you can't have both. You can't have a love for God and a love for the things of the world, meaning he's not talking about a nice shiny car. He explains it. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the things of the world. In other words, that's the foundational motivation of the world. That's what makes the world spin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He said, it's impossible to have that and have the love of the Father in you. Come on, that's startling. That's like, I'm glad he is a straight shooter. You know, when I got born again, I would read all those scriptures. I'd read scriptures of perilous times. I'd read all the scriptures of the lists of the flesh. And I would just read all that just to make sure none of that stuff was working in me. Just to make sure I didn't somehow slip on that list without seeing it. I would just read that stuff for accountability. And read that stuff and go, oh, Jesus, oh, I give myself to you. Yeah? The God of this age, he is blinded. Whose minds? People that are perishing. He's blinded. See, that's why you don't get mad at them. They're blinded. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. That sure beats, are you kidding me? What a bunch of idiots. How many people do I have to heal and bellies do I have to feed? How many stinking dead do I got to raise? Because he did stink. I don't know what the bleep. It's going on around here. See, it's impossible for that to be the Lord. But we understand the language too well. It would make an amazing talk show. People dial in, tune in, and choose sides. And the best they could do is feel sorry for him and be mad at the people. That's the best they could do. They watch him talk shows. And they just feel bad for the person and feel mad for the villain. Now you got victim, villain, and everybody's losing. Because when you're a victim, you're just a product of the villain. And when you're a villain, you're marked and you can't be changed. And everybody loses in that world. How's that? Just think about Jesus on the cross. He's beat beyond description, guys. Like, you can't even tell at all who he is. And he says, forgive them, Father. They just don't get it. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a clue. They're deceived, Lord. Boy, that sure beats. You know, I just can't believe that not one of them could walk in the light on this. It's amazing that I had to watch every one of them get deceived. God, you think just one of them could love me after all the good I've done? He healed a lot of folks. You know, when he was in Jerusalem right before he got crucified, they were thronging him and he was doing all kinds of miracles right there before he got grabbed up in Gethsemane. Read your Bible. For like, when they laid the palm branches and Hosanna in the highest, they're celebrating, the kids are shouting, and the Pharisees are ticked off. He just did miracles all week long. And all of a sudden, The people that saw the miracles are going, Barabbas, Barabbas. If Jesus was an ounce like us before we knew him, because we can change. But if he was an ounce like the mentality we were trained with, he's got to shout out somebody, something. He's got to throw somebody down with his words. Are you kidding me? You'd be up there with Pilate and he's all beat up. You think he'd be looking out there saying, I can't believe you're yelling Barabbas. I healed you 2 days ago. Your friend got healed. You were standing right beside him. What is wrong with you? What about his beef with God? Barabbas, are you kidding me? What an insult. How much am I supposed to take down here, huh? I mean, I raise the dead. He kills a man. He's causing conspiracy, and I'm trying to make peace. And they want to side with him and kill me? These people are nuts. I ain't doing it. They ain't touching me one more. If they hit me with one more stick, I'm telling you. You know why it sounds so hilarious? Because you put the words in Jesus' mouth and we know better. It ain't him. We made you and me for his image. He's the firstborn among many. We're the body of Christ. And the things he did, we'll do if we believe. So if it sounds silly in his mouth, it ought to sound just as silly in ours. Why? Because he didn't teach us that. And you got one teacher. He's the Christ. And if you didn't learn it from him, you didn't learn it at all. Come on, oh, that's just good. You know, it's this kind of preaching going to keep me alive and fired up for a long time. Because I ain't just preaching it. I'm going to go ahead and leave here and live this thing. And if you ever see me again, I'm going to be this wild. Maybe a little bit more. You know why it might be a little bit more? Because I might know him just a little bit better. You see what's wrong with me? It comes from knowing him, not reading about him. Not reading about him, knowing him. You go ahead and be with him, people. And if there's anything telling you you can't be with him, I'm telling you it's a lie straight from hell. He paid a price and his blood is speaking better things and the door to his presence is open wide. You say, well, it doesn't feel real. Well, it doesn't feel like nothing's happening. Well, I never know that he's in the room. Well, I feel like I'm talking to the air. Stop that feeling thing and go be with him. Turn that thing off, feelings, and go be with him and start fighting the good fight of faith and tap into the gift called faith that gets you separated from feelings because feelings have eaten our lunch way too many suppers. Or way too many feasting times. I said it this morning. We let the enemy come and sit at this table and devour. He prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemy. He's not even threatened by the enemy. Truth is so amazing. He just lets you sit and feast right in front of him.
Come on.
He is not threatened by the enemy. He don't have to drive him out of the room. If he wants to sit there and watch you feast on the kingdom and walk in eternal life and live in righteousness and be accepted in the beloved, and he wants to get tormented by the finished work of Christ that he has no right to, let him in the room. He ain't driving him out. But you better make sure you're at the right table. Feast at that thing. That ain't you sitting at the table going, to the devil. That's you walking in what he paid for. Walking in the finished work, feasting at the table of God in the presence of your enemies. God ain't threatened by your enemies, and neither are you. You know what you're threatened by? Not believing the truth. You're not threatened by the enemy. You're threatened by not believing the truth. Because the weapon of your warfare is the truth. It's mighty in the breaking down of strongholds. And the good fight you fight is the good fight of faith. It's not UFC and the devil. It's the good fight of faith. That's your victory. I believe. You believe you're a son. You believe you're a daughter, and you don't let anything change your mind. You believe you're accepted, and all of a sudden you can never be rejected because you're not finding where you belong this way. You're living belonging, and you'll fit right here somewhere perfectly. Yeah? And all of a sudden, you're not even secure. You're complete in him, like we preached this morning. You with me? I got to wrap this thing up. I'm sorry. No, I feel like I need to just quit. David needs sleep. Yeah, he does. He does. No, he needs sleep. He's closed his eyes now twice trying to act spiritual like he's processing, praying. I've seen him twice. I have to have compassion on my brother. I'm messing with you. I didn't see him twice. Three. So he blinds those who don't believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of, who is Christ? Who is the image of who? Of God. Okay. Remember how I always preach restored to his image? Okay. You know Colossians? Put off the old man and his deeds. Put on the new man, renewed in knowledge according to the image. Now do you understand why Jesus said, follow me? Because he's the image of God. And he's showing us as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, what life was intended to look like. And he's showing us who we are through him. And he invited us back in to say, follow me, because he took away the sin of the world. So sin no longer has us cut off. He grafted us back in. Nothing's lost. Except us living out of the old thing we were trained, the deception we were taught by, the lies of hell, and the self-centered twist and perversion that came on the earth through the fall of man. That's why you got to give all that back. That's why you got to get water baptized, call it all dead. You died. You were buried. Your old man was crucified. And as Jesus raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you shall raise in new life. Come on, this should be preached from the rooftops, man. Because we get tricked. We're not hypocrites. I established that this week. I'm not talking to hypocrites. I'm not talking to a room of evil people. I'm not mad at you, correcting you, or spanking you. I'm saying we can't afford to keep being deceived and bring something new into something old. It's got to all become new. You can't bring new into old. That's why people live like this. Because they have high moments and ministry moments, and God gives them a word, and they leave excited, and then the heat and pressure of the day comes, and it didn't have no root called love, and all of a sudden it withers, and that thing that was, boom, yeah, is, And after about two rounds of that, you don't even want to get your hopes up anymore. Now you're in self-preservation, and you don't even want to activate your heart, and even your friends are saying, I wouldn't get my hopes up, and yeah. It just gets crazy, man. You all with me?
Yes.
Who is Christ? The image of God. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. And Christ in you is the hope of seeing the Father. So why is Christ in you? So people see the Father. So that people say, man, I met this guy named David. I felt like I had some kind of exchange or encounter with God. It was weird. I can't explain it. Like the way he looked at me and when he talked, his words carried weight. And I can't even tell you what it was like when I walked away. I just kept thinking, there must be a God. Why? Because he met David. I've been in public, unsolicited, just in public, doing my whatever I'm doing, and somebody will strangely tap me and feel very uncomfortable. Sir, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to seem weird, but who are you? What do you mean, who am I? I mean, I don't know. I just can't stop looking at you. Something weird is going on inside of me. I feel like I'm nervous. What is it about you? I don't want to seem strange, but I... And they're just trying to explain something that's spiritual. And I'll smile and I'll say, I think you've been searching. You've been hungry for God. You've been convicted about your life, haven't you? You've been crying over some things. You've been wanting change. Something will come to me. God will help me. Boom. And they'll go, yeah? You're perceiving him in me. And your spirit, your inner man, understands that there's an answer inside of me. It's what you're looking for. He's Jesus. Let's just pray. I've had that happen in public, unsolicited. Just pointing you out of a crowd. Hey, what is it about you? I'm sorry, did you see me staring at you? No, I didn't really notice. Man, I was like, I told my wife, I gotta quit looking over at that man. He's gonna think I'm like something weird going on. I just had to come over and say, hey, I'm just crazy. Why? Christ, who's the image of God. Where does he live? So where's the image? Woo! Why do you think you have a body? To lead you astray? You have a body to house the truth. To act out what's inside. The reason you have a body is to manifest and express the image. And the big war that's on the earth is Satan trying to reproduce himself after his own kind, and God intending to reproduce himself after his own kind. So Eve gets deceived, and the seed of deception comes upon her, and a language that she wasn't taught by God becomes her voice. And then she goes and takes that voice to Adam, and God said, because you heeded the voice of your wife. Whose voice was the voice of his wife? If she said what she heard. She got discipled through deception and started to speak a language she was never created for. Adam heard her and didn't follow God and committed treason and sinned. Now we got this mess. What happened? Satan sowed one little seed into a woman called Eve. She repeated what he said to Adam. Adam bought in and bam, everything died that was. That's the war that you're in right now. I was sitting on my bed. I was barely saved. Month, I don't know, whatever. The Lord said, hey, every time you act in anger, it's a charismatic worship service of the wrong God. I said, what? And he began to teach me on my bed. Didn't even hardly know scripture. How Satan got thrown out of heaven because of his proud decree. And I started looking things up. And he made a decree. He said, I will rise even above the throne of God. I will sit in the highest place and be God. Every time you fear, he's fulfilling that decree. Every time you're angry, he's fulfilling that decree. Every time you're overwhelmed, discouraged, frustrated, every time you're in an analytical war coming up with wrong answers, he's ruling you from the throne of your soul. He's sitting in the highest place he can possibly sit because he cannot sit in heaven. He's been cast out. So he said, I'll just go to the people made in God's image. I'll deceive them. I'll take the people made in the similitude of God and I'll reduce them to look like me. And that way I feel like I'm winning. That's good sobering preaching. That'll sure make you think twice about an attitude that's wrong if you have half a heart alive. If you don't care about what I'm saying, you just need a fibrillator in the Holy Ghost. Like if you're like, whatever, dude, it just means you're dead inside. You need mercy. Because if you don't care about stuff this important, spiritual stuff like this, where the devil's trying to make you after his own, the one that's judged forever and cursed forever and separated from God forever, he draws pleasure out of making people in the similitude of God, people made for the image of God, and turning them into his likeness as best he can. He loves it. He feels like he's winning. He feeds on that thing. He's talking to God in heaven concerning Job, and God's talking about Job, and God is God, man. And Satan's snapping back like he's the most arrogant, like he's right. He says, well, blessed. What? You blessed this man? What do you mean ain't nobody on the earth like Job? Nobody on the earth like Job? Are you kidding me? He's just like anybody else. You just blessed him. You hedged him in. You made him fat in the land. You take away the blessing, you'll see. He'll curse you to your face like every other man. Well, when that didn't happen, even though Job had horrible theology, horrible theology. His friends said worse. But he didn't curse God. But he believed God was the cause. But he didn't curse him because he had the integrity that God boasted in. But what did the devil do when he come back? God said, have you considered my servant Job? He hasn't cursed me after all these things. He said, skin for skin. The devil, so arrogant. He got you and me so figured out, he's sure. He don't believe one of us love God. He believes we need God. And there's a big difference. He quipped right back to the Lord. I don't even know how it's possible, but I'm glad it's written because it teaches me. He quipped right back. He said, skin for skin. He said, a man will do anything to save his own life. Now you see them Pharisees when Jesus is on the cross mocking him. Huh. He saved others. He can't even save himself. Let him save himself if he's the Son of God. Let him come down from the cross. See how blind they were? He wasn't here to save himself. He was here to save them. Coming off the cross isn't even an option, and that's all they could see. Ain't that something? If Jesus was anything like us when they were talking like that, he'd have just, what a bunch of idiots. I'm sorry, I gotta stop. I just want you to see this quick. I'll get to these next couple verses and try not to preach too long. For it's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God? Found in the face of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Watch. And we have this treasure. The knowledge of the glory of God that was found in the face of Jesus. We have this treasure in our bodies, in our earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power may be of God. It's Him and not of us. Paul gets it. Now look, he says we're hard pressed on every side. Yeah, who's ever felt hard pressed by circumstances? Who've ever had 1, 2, 3 things hit at the same time? And then when you went, wow, it turned into 2 more. Who's ever prayed for somebody with cancer and right after you prayed, they got their next checkup and their numbers were higher? That's when you find out what you believe and if you believe. Because if you let the numbers decide your belief system, you never believed in the first place. You shouldn't even be moved by this stuff. Come on. Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to throw you in my fire. They take a stand in faith and the fire grows 7 times hotter. Why? Because the devil believes. The harder he presses you, he can find out what you really believe. And if he puts your life on the line, it's a given. You're done. So he thinks them 3 Hebrew boys are going to bow out because he makes it hotter. Well, the first fire is already hot enough to kill them. It's just going to kill them quicker. They didn't change their mind, did they? You find out in the end it was never about the fire. It was about who they were going to worship. If it was about the fire, Jesus would have put it out. Jesus didn't put the fire out. He's not going to give it that much honor. He's Lord over fire. He didn't put the fire out. That should speak to us. He just kept his boys free in the midst of it. And when they came out of it, you couldn't even tell they were in it, except the increased passion that would have been on them. Couldn't even tell they were in a fire. Whew. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. How's that possible? The faith. Understanding what you're called to, the why behind your life, continuing in the truth. You cannot let the hard pressed become your identity. You can't let this be about you. You have to seek first the kingdom of God, or life is going to deceive you along the way. Come on, it's just here. We're not crushed. We're perplexed. Uh-oh, whole lot of questions. We're perplexed. Oh, well, how come? Well, why? But if? But then why? But I don't know. Oh, my. But then you got to be kidding me. But if? Come on. Perplexed, watch, but not in despair. Be honest with me. How many people got perplexed and it led to despair? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, man, I'm perplexed. I got some questions. I got some things I don't even know how we're going to walk through, get through. I don't even know the answers to. But I ain't in despair because I got too many answers already settled in my heart. And God brought me this far. He's not going to take me back. He's going to fulfill. He's going to follow through. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. Man, if he split the sea for Moses and them boys, he can keep me walking on this dry ground. You know what I'm saying? You just got to know some things. So despair never comes through perplexed. Are you with me? We got to learn from Paul. We're persecuted. We're not forsaken. They persecuted me so bad at work when I got saved, you have no idea. They posted things on the bulletin board all the time. They did little catcall stuff on the intercoms all the time. I would go to lunch and somebody be at the microwave. They were like little school kids. They would be like, hallelujah, brother. And they'd all giggle like that was hurting me or that was funny. We'd be all at the time clock. Somebody'd say, I'd go to be clocking out and they'd go, praise the Lord. I'd think, wow, somebody's praising the Lord. You're persecuted, you're not forsaken. Yeah. Look, if you're being persecuted and you don't know him and you're just trying to stand for a belief, you probably won't stand long. But if you're persecuted and you know him, you feel sad for the people persecuting you because they don't even know what to persecute. It says that one day when Jesus comes, you'll be found with him and they'll give glory to God for your sake. They'll go, oh my goodness, that dude was legit. He knew the Lord. Look, he's standing with him. And the people that mocked are going to give glory to God for your sake and go, oops. We mocked that man. We never listened to him. We made fun of him. We didn't hear him. He really knew the Lord the whole time. We thought he was a flake and a freak. We never took the time to even hear what he had to say. We judged him. We mocked and scoffed what we didn't understand. Wow, we didn't understand. That's what's going to happen to people. There should be no amount of persecution that should change our minds because our minds are settled. We've seen the Lord. We've tasted. He's good. Where would I go, Lord? You have the words of life. Come on, this should be real to Christians. I get concerned if we really go through some kind of persecution in this country, how we're going to respond. We just going to have a bunch of prayer change and be in despair and crying and we ain't going to be walking in the light? Or worse yet, we'd be marching on Washington with picket signs? I just hope we're more prepared in the Lord than picketing if the hammer ever falls. Whew. Oh, that one's going to throw me in a fetal position, I promise. We're perplexed, we're not forsaken, we're struck down, we're what? We're never destroyed. Why? Because of the faith. Because we understand who we are now that he came, and we actually understand why he came. And he didn't come just to give me blessings. He didn't come just to give me provision. And he didn't come just to take me to a physical place called heaven someday. He came to give me new life, new purpose, new motive, so that I could fulfill the God-given destiny on my life and leave a legacy that'll speak for eternity on behalf of the King. He gave you and me that gift. Don't miss this little window of opportunity with anger, frustration, judgment, analytical thinking, and human opinions that have never produced an ounce of anything worth holding on to. I ain't never seen anybody with a bad attitude produce life. And I ain't never seen them blessed. I ain't never seen two people argue and anybody win even when they were right. We can get so deceived in this life. You got your little wife, she's a Jesus lady. She's at home praying for you at work, praying for you at work. And then you come walking in the door like a rooster. You're just looking like a barnyard banny. And she says, "Hi, honey, welcome home. I've been praying for you all day." She says, "How was your day?" "My day was amazing." "Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What happened?" "It was good. I've been praying for God to move." "Well, it probably wasn't what you're thinking, but I just, man, it was awesome. My boss, I've been holding back. I just gave him a piece of my mind. I finally opened up and just told him how it was, man. And you walk around like this, like you're some bad dude. And I mean, you gave him a piece of your mind. Now the world's a better place." That's how silly it is. That's how lonely you are in that place. That is so minute. But yet there's a real feeling in it of, ooh, and satisfaction. I hope you didn't give him too much of a piece. You know I ain't that far off. You lay into somebody and tell them off, and you're feeling all that? Like the world's better? You're noticed? You ain't anointed to give him a piece of your mind. Your wife ain't praying for you to have an outburst. You're anointed to give him who Jesus is when he's way wrong. And you ain't anointed to pray for another job because he gets on your nerves. You're anointed to be Jesus right where you are. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I threw y'all around enough in the last half hour. You all right? You tell I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. This is what he paid for. This is who we are. This is what we're called to. If you really listen, what I'm talking about is true freedom. I mean, this is why it was so intense this weekend, because they call this Freedom Fest. So we would rather go after freedom than just saying, "I'm free." I mean, that's fun. But ain't nothing funner when you're singing that and you're free. Sometimes we just settled on a song. And then we leave here and reveal through our life and our day, we don't even understand freedom. So we sing songs about it instead of enjoy it. Let's make sure our songs carry so much weight, because we've been living free all week long. And then we come together, this place would blow the roof off, man. If we would all come walking in here and we just manifested Jesus all week, and we just walked through the trials, man. We were persecuted. We weren't forsaken. Man, we weren't struck down, even no crazy things. There was a time we were perplexed in the middle of the week and didn't even know how this day was going to unfold. But man, we weren't in despair. And all of a sudden, them songs come alive. And you start going, "Oh, I ain't trying to get somewhere. I've been somewhere." Yeah? Y'all good? Would you stand to your feet with me? I want to close in prayer. Would you grab somebody's hand? I don't know. I don't usually do this, but it just feels right. I don't ever do this. This feels cool. Would you look at them and just say, "Hey, we're in this together." Say together. Say this. Say, "Together we make up one. And his name's Jesus." Father, I thank you for the army of God you're raising up here. I thank you for new things, new beginnings, new land, a new address, Victory Way. I thank you, Lord, for revelation, new hearts, new convictions, just new life through Jesus Christ. Father, I would ask this with boldness. Would you let the heart of the message that was cried out this weekend be the reality and the expression of our lives? And let the name of Jesus be realized in the hearts of men. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. When I prayed that, this one last scripture came to my mind in John 17. Jesus said this. He said, "Father, when they're one like we're one, then the world will know that you have sent your son." We think when everybody hears the sinner's prayer message, Jesus is coming back. That's what we say. It's the gospel of the kingdom that needs preached to all nations. And he said, when they become one like we're one, who's Jesus Christ? The image of the Father. Who are we? The body of Christ. So we're the body of the image.
Yes, amen.
When we become one like they're one, then the world's going to go, oh, I get it. I see. And they'll know that he did send his son. And it'll be more than a theological agreement and a head nod. It'll be a heart revelation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.